I'm excited this morning about the sermon, so I'm going to need your help to stay calm. I'm going to need you to talk back to me now, so that way I can keep my peace. I joke with you a lot about that, Ebenezer. I just want you to know it's out of love, but I will need some help this morning. I'm excited because anytime I deal with a matter of praise and worship, it is significant to me more than anything else really that I do. I live for worship, and I live for praise. I like singing. I like shouting by myself. I told you last week that, you know, I practiced church when I was a kid. And listen, when I leave here, no matter what you say, no matter what comes and goes my way, I have church all by myself. So it makes me extremely excited to preach about praise and worship. And as you know, we've been this last week and this week in a sermonic series about worship. And I could have done something creative with that title about worship and kind of explored some different themes and plastered it on Facebook and came up with a flyer. But I think it is simple enough. We ought to worship. And so this morning I'd like to finish this sermonic sermon and series and wrap it up. And then next week we'll be back in the hands of our pastor. Would you join me in Psalm 100? In the book of Psalms, you know this familiar psalm, don't you? Most of us know it from the King James Version. In fact, I think that we could say it aloud together and not read off of the screen. The screen has the NIV version. Let's just practice it just for a second. See how astute you really are in the Psalms. Read with me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. For it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the in the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his and his to all generation. God bless you. Now, for those at home that didn't know it, I'm going to read the NIV version, and then I want to read the Message version of that translation and begin a recap of what we already know about worship and talk just a few moments about praise. The NIV version reads, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is what? And his mercy, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." I want to read for your hearing the Message translation just so that we are well-rounded this morning when it comes to this text. Listen to how the writer paraphrases our scripture lesson today. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is good. And God, he made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Listen how he says, verse 4, "Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love. loyal always and ever, the word of our God. Will you pray with me? O masterful and merciful God, we come to praise your name. Amen. We began last week on this special service. Thank you, ushers. We talked about worship and what worship means, the components of what it means to worship. We defined what worship is for us. And I made the argument to you last week that worship is to, for, and about God, that everything we do belongs to God. And not only that argument, but I said to you, God created us for the sole purpose of worship. That is, we are walking billboards for our Lord. Everything that we do, how we breathe, the way that we interact with one another, the way that we come together, the way that we interact with people outside of the walls of the church can be defined as worship. But there were some parameters on that. Let me give you a quick glossary of what I said to you last week. I said, in and for your hearing, based off of Genesis 1, the narrative of the creation, that worship is a reflection of God's character in the world. Not only are we billboards for God, but how we interact with the world is also a reflection of God's character. So we have to be careful how we characterize God to other people. And that is, the narrative of the creation story, as I told you, was segmented. It was divinely orchestrated into allotment of time that prescribes God's character being that of order and of justice and relationship. I asked you the question, how can we worship and not think about those three main facets of God's character? How can we worship and not think about order? That is, how can we worship and not think about the prescribed things that God told us should be? Right? I ask you that if God is concerned about order, he's concerned about justice. He's concerned about the worship that protrudes to other people who are less fortunate than we are, those who have gone through things that they could not help. And therefore, it is our chance to show that God is just, that God cares for everyone the same way he cares about us. God is just. He doesn't look just at the needs of those who are rich, but he looks at the needs of the poor. He looks at the needs of those who are lame. God is just. He is sovereign. He is order. And then he is also worried about our relationship. Worship is a reflection of God's character. Y'all remember that point? And then I said to you that worship also multiplies. That is, worship benefits worship. If we worship God with our whole hearts, if we worship God in the obedience of his will, then from that worship also means that people who are in the overflow of the worship to God will then worship God. Let me put that another way. When we worship God, when we lift God with our voices, when we lift God with our life, God then pours blessings back on us. Y'all remember that analogy? And when God pours blessings on us, others are affected. And when others are affected, then they are then called to worship. Worship benefits worship. And the last thing that I left with you is that worship is good. Worship to God, when we are in order, when we live our lives that benefit others, when we worship God and think about the creation that God has given to us, when we take care of the world that God has laid at our feet, then worship is glorifying to him. Worship is good for him. Worship belongs to God. Worship can exist in principle without praise. Worship, in principle, can exist without praise. However, praise falls under the category of worship. So while worship can exist without praise, praise cannot exist without worship. Praise does not mean we're worshiping God. You can praise people, you can praise things the same way that you can worship people and you can worship things. So we have to be careful that our praise is for God and under the unction of worship to God. And then we get to the psalm. And I believe that the writer of today's psalm, we don't know who it is. We know that David writes 1 through 70, or seven, at least 75 of the songs out of the 150 psalms that we have in Scripture. But this is not one of them. We don't know who wrote Psalm 100. I like that. And the reason why I like it is because we can put our name there. We can put our praise and worship there. We can't necessarily say that we're David in most of those psalms. We can relate to David, but here without a name, we can put a place in the text that our praise is to make a joyful noise to God. So, not knowing who wrote it, I would say to us, and even credit the writer for having some sense and knowledge of the creation story found in Genesis. The reason why I say that is because I believe Psalm to be out of that space, knowing who God is and his creative work in the world and of the world, is and ordained for this Psalm. That this Psalm glorifies God because he is the creator. This psalm glorifies God because he is who he is. We are to do something found in verse 1. We are to make a joyful noise. How are we to praise? This is the first thing that I'd like to begin with. And there's only three of them, and then I'll be out of your way, okay? How we are to praise. After that, I want to deal with when we are to praise and why we are to praise. I believe that those three things are found in Psalm 100. In order to understand how we are to praise, I think that you should know a little bit about the book of Psalms. For the most part, most of the Psalms can be defined in two categories. The lament Psalms or the praise psalms. The lament psalms are a group of psalms that form the Hebrew Bible, classified by their focus on laments expressing deep sorrow for the travails of a nation and as a group asking for God's blessing or intervention. Let me give you an example of a lament psalm. Psalm 38, 9 through 11 says, "All my longing lie upon open for you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My flesh fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far from me." That is a lament psalm. Another example of a lament psalm is Psalm 10 and 1. "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" There is another example of a lament psalm, Psalm 42 and 7. It says, "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." That sounds like somebody who knows what it is to be encompassed by trouble. A lament psalm. There's another example found in Psalm 6. "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" There's another example of a lament psalm in Psalm 130 and 1. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, hear my voice. That's one category of the Psalms titled Lament. There is another category that I think brings us to the picture of how we are to worship, and that is the category of praise psalms. You know those songs a little bit better. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. I feel good now. They looked upon him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about him that fear him and oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted. That's a praise psalm. Psalm 8 is another praise psalm. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 146 and 2 says, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to God, my God, as long as I live. Psalm 98 says, shout for the Lord and joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This noise is that of shouting. And what people don't realize is that trouble, that the devil also has a sound too. Ezekiel 28 paints a picture of an instrument. That instrument being Satan. We talked about this in our Bible study 2 weeks ago. Let me expound upon that thought. Ezekiel paints the picture of this personality, this spirit that engulfs the king. And this king is engulfed by who we know to be Lucifer. And he says that Lucifer is adorned with all kinds of beauty and stones. Y'all know devil looks good. We come in. Well, never mind. I ain't going to go there. Just know that the devil looks good too. And the devil knows how to use his instrument as well. And this is why I say that, because a part of our praise is knowing that we are instruments for God. And that is that we are hopefully, we're not using our instruments in a bad way. Hopefully, we are not using our instruments to put down other people. Hopefully, we're not using our instruments to glorify ourselves. Hopefully, we're not using our instruments to boast about things that we have. Hopefully, we're not coming to church looking good, but sounding raggedy to God. Our noise, our shout comes from our very bodies as instruments. I would say to you, examine your anatomy. Just look at how God made you. When you think about your body, you think about your vocal cords. Now, I did just a little bit Dr. Jones? Voice training. And when I did voice training, you know, they would tell me to relax my larynx, and they would explain to me that your vocal cords move like this when you slow it down, like in a wave. And what I learned is that our vocal cords also proceed from our lungs, that without our lungs, there cannot be any sound. But then also, if you examine another instrument on your body, you have your hands and your feet. Now, some of y'all missed the picture, but what I've just portrayed to you is a string instrument, a wind instrument, and a percussion instrument that God made you. Right? So if you think about your larynx, if you think about your throat, you will realize that God gave you a voice so that you will be a sounding string instrument for Him. And if everything in you cannot sing, if you can't lift your voice, at least you ought to blow some air. Tell God, thank you, sir. And if you don't have a voice, if you can't lift your voice, you got a percussion instrument that you walk around with every day. We ought not to come into church not making a joyful sound. After you lament a little while, I understand that we can't always come into God's house happy. That there are times when we are burdened down. That there are times when we are heartbroken, when we are grieving, when we are sick, and we just don't have the energy or wherewithal to come into God's house thanking Him all the time. But after you finish lamenting, you ought to find yourself a praise song. Make a joyful noise. Listen, I used to sing in the chorale choir in high school and all throughout undergrad at college. Now, I was bad. I mean, I was a good sight reader. I could show down. Y'all think Dr. Davis got the bass voice, but listen, I could hang with the best of them. I loved singing in chorale choir. What I noticed, though, with chorale music, oftentimes we didn't sing music in English. Most times we were singing a piece in Latin or French. You know, if it's not Mozart, then it was some Handel piece. And while some of their music is in English, other parts of that, like Debussy, would be in French. And you'd have some joyful music, but you wouldn't know what you're saying. So I had a good chorale teacher, two good choir directors. And what they would tell us is that anytime you are prepped to sing, especially if you're singing a solo, you should break down what the words mean. That is, that you should go and you should make sure that you translate from the paper, the language that you see, into the language that you can understand. Now, see, there was a song, this phrase that was listed in a lot of songs. It's Jubilate Deo. And translated, it simply means rejoice in God. Now, I knew that, but the people that we were portraying that music to didn't know what that mean. Unless it was listed in the program, you wouldn't know what Jubilate Deo mean. But if you sing it well, people can feel what it is that you're singing. Now, some of y'all thinking I'm talking about choir music, but I've moved back onto my paper with Psalm 100, and here it is. God says to us, if you know who I am, if you know what I've done for you, sometimes I may seem far from you, sometimes you may not understand what I'm doing, but if you know who I am, people may not understand your praise, but they ought to feel your praise. We come before Him. That's the when we should praise Him. How we should praise Him is with loud instruments. How we should praise Him is with our voice lifted high to God. How we should praise Him is with all of our being. But then He tells us when we should praise Him. He says, when you come before me. Now, I got a lot on my paper. I hope y'all let me preach this morning. The psalm is listed as something that would have been sung in the synagogue. Now, this would have been under Solomon's reign. And if you know anything about Solomon's temple, it was known as the first temple. That is, this song is very old. People would have known this psalm from birth because it would have been passed down to them for generations. And the people of God, when they come together, would shout to God for everything that they had, but more so because of who they were coming to worship. You see, people would come from all over to Solomon's temple so that they can worship him. This temple was a central location for people to commune together and worship God. That is what we do every Sunday, isn't it? We come to God from all over this city and from all over the state to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let me just part here to say we're not the only ones worshiping God on Sundays. And so if we're so dignified and if we're so refined that we can't open our voice, there's a church right down the street that's telling God just how good he has been. We ought to come to this place to lift God. But anyway, there's a central location in which this psalm belonged. It belonged to the church, to people who know and knew God. We know God. We know who he is. And we ought to come before him making a joyful what? Joyful noise. That's the win. Anytime we come before God. Now here's the last thing about that win we should worship God. You ought to know that anytime we exist, that is, if you're sitting here, if you're waking up, if you're sleeping, if you're in a hospital, if you're in a nursing home, if you're out with your friends, you exist. And if you exist, you are in the presence of God. When should we praise? Come on, somebody. Thank you, choir. Anytime we exist, that's why I believe the writer is crediting back to creation, because he knows that we are walking billboards for God. Now, I'm almost done. When, how, the last one I believe the psalm tells us is why we should worship God. He says, this is why. For the Lord is good. Okay. That's about 10 little salty claps. Cause y'all looking at me and thinking I'm trying to get, but I praise God all by myself. I told you that, right? I'm just reminding you that God is good. Listen, that's about 10 more claps. Congratulations to you. God bless you. May he keep you real good. But if you know how good God is, this psalm is for me this morning. It is a reminder that no matter what I go through, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself, this is between I and Jesus, you're just listening in this morning. No matter what I go through, when should I praise him? How should I praise him? But why? Because God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to my family. He's been faithful to my friends. Been faithful to my wife. Why should I praise him? Because God is. Wait. There's one more thing. One more thing, and I'm done. Y'all know there's a such thing as the Hallel praise. The Hallel psalm, and that is that this Hallel psalm causes us, by very definition, to praise God. It is a praise psalm. I've already said that to you. It's just another word for you to add in your dictionary. The Hallel psalm. And listen, there is one psalm that is greater than the rest of them. That psalm is 136. I'm going to tell you why this psalm is great. It is because when we worship God, we testify to God's goodness so that other people may know how good God is. Now, it also paints a story of what God has done for a nation. This is Psalm 136. There's a response. I want you to talk back to me when I read it. You'll catch on in just a second. Psalm 136 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And then the answer is, "His love endures for..." Oh, y'all got it. Good, good. Now you can talk back to me because I'm going to paint a picture for you. He says, "Give thanks to the God of all gods, for his endures." Good. He says, "Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his endures forever." He says, "To him who alone does great wonders, for his endures." All right. So now he says, "Who by his understanding made the heavens, his endures." He said, "Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his..." Yeah, yeah. Now I'm going to jump to verse 10. He says, "To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his..." All he's doing is saying, "I'm painting a picture with my praise." So let me tell you something. Why you should worship God is because when you worship God, you paint a picture of who God is in your life. Now, I'm going to testify by myself. God woke me up this morning. His love endures forever. I've gone through grief and sorrow, but his love endures forever. When I was sick and didn't know how I was going to get better, his love. And listen, when I come into God's house, I'm going to make a joyful noise, whether you want me to or not, because his love. Shout. Shout because what he's done for you. Shout because what he's going to do for you. Shout because how he brought you through. Shout because he's good and good all by himself. God is good in me. God is good in me. God is good in me. Yeah! Yeah! Don't let people judge your praise. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know how you define God in your life. When you worship God, you worship God. Yeah. The children back there are dancing, and they might not understand now, but they'll realize sooner or later that the God I'm talking about right now is the God that's keeping them through hell, harm, and danger. For that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. This morning, somebody here needs to know the God that we praise. Somebody here needs to know what God can do for you. I don't care how loud you worship God or how soft you worship God, but you ought to open your mouth. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to do something, but give your life to him first. Some of us have to be re-examined. We have to be reignited. We have to be moved to worship God. But if God does something for you, nobody got to tell you how to worship God. I'm done. We're over time. I'm done. There was a question in our Bible study about worship. Should worship be orchestrated? I understood where the question was coming from. Because sometimes people stand up, they tell you how to lift your hands, you lift your hands. They tell you how to bow, you bow. They tell you what to sing, you sing it, and you don't know who you're talking to. But I answered that praise can be led. The Psalms are written by worship leaders. It can be in some form orchestrated, but what I realize more importantly is that no matter what the person in front of me is telling me to do with worship, as long as my heart is focused on worship, as long as my heart is right, it doesn't matter what nobody else say, what anybody else does, my worship to God is what is most important. We offer Christ to you if you're in this place. I just want to go back to our morning hymn. Praise Him. Praise Him. Would you sing that? You know it a little bit better now. It should mean something different for you. Just praise Him. Praise Him. And if you are here as our deacons and our greeters stand in the aisles, we offer Christ to you. Let's stand and sing this great hymn together. We offer Christ to you, oh brother. Praise Him.
Praise Him.
Sing, church, praise Him.
Praise Him.
If that is you, come now.
Praise Him.
Yeah, praise Him.
Praise Him.
Jesus.
Bless Him.
Blessed Savior. About our worship, that we think about the songs we give to God. Come on then, choir.
Lord, yeah. Jesus, blessed Savior.
And that remember how good God is. Y'all stay right there, keep singing it. Let us receive our benediction. Reception for Sister and Deacon Connie Williams will be today at 2:30 to 4:30 at the Children's Haven Association Home, 1908 Chacon Street. There is parking that will be available at Rising Star Missionary Baptist Church. Please go and celebrate and lift Sister Williams and Dr. Williams and Deacon Williams for their service here at Ebenezer. Oh God, our benediction is that you would bless us and you would keep us, and that you would let your face shine upon us for all eternity. Lord, watch over us and keep us in your perfect power and will. Through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Keep singing, choir.